All right. Voila. Here we go. All right. See, I have a conspirator in the sound booth. So this is the Center Update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a bit about what goes on behind the scenes on the organizational level. It's typically not visible to folks who are showing up on here on Sundays or during the week. So Mary, are you back? Are you here? You're ready to do your thing?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, in just a moment. You can be coming. You can be approaching. You come forth and make yourself ready. All right. While they're making themselves ready, I just want to mention about the community membership. Jane and I are bringing a phased approach to our membership process, and the first phase is becoming a community member if you're not already a governing member. So there's two phases, community member and governing member. And so we're going to try to take in community members, anyone wishing to join the community, every other month. And so the next orientation will be August 7th, is that right? Yes. At 11:30, sometimes the thing said at 1 o'clock, but no, it's right after service. And just a brief meeting where I'm going to be just inviting you to say yes to three things if you're interested in becoming a community member of Unity Spiritual Center. The first thing that I'm going to invite you to say yes to is some form of meaningful involvement in our community. Makes sense if you're wanting to participate in the community that you are engaged in and enriching our community's life. In addition to that, you say yes to some form of deepening your own spiritual practice through attending classes, spirit groups, things like that. In addition to that, you say yes to some form of minimum member contribution. Part of our challenge is that we hardly ever know exactly what our income is going to be until it happens, and oftentimes it requires creative financing in order to make ends meet. But if we are able to know what we can count on from you, then that's what we're asking for. You designate what the amount is, and then in some form of automatic process, we ask that you set that up with us. So those are the three things we'll invite you to say yes to, in addition to other things that we'll talk about, and that'll be on August 7th, right after church. Now, we are introducing a very new segment. Reverend Jane, Dr. Jane, come forth. Could you give us an explanation as to why this is going to be happening instead of the center update at least once a month? No, you can't have this. This is mine.
Yes. So how many of you were here when I did a talk on spiritual life hacks? Do you remember that?
You're not on.
I'm not on.
Hang on a second. Oh, excuse me.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Go. Okay. All right. Here
I
am.
Is that good for you?
I'm just going to let that one go. Again, how many of you were here when I did a talk on spiritual life hacks? And a life hack being something that you do that makes your life easier, or that you, you look online and you'll find 17 life hacks to use in your bathroom, who knows, or with your toddlers or something. And they're just little cool things you can do that make life easier, that make things go smoother. And spiritual life hacks, then, are practices that people have that helps them to deepen their experience of spirit, in their spiritual life. And so I invited people at that time who would like to share with all of us their spiritual life hack to sign up, and once a month, we are going to have someone or some ones come forward and share what their practice is with everyone, and we can all kind of be blessed by that. So that's the idea behind it, and it'll be during the center update segment whenever it happens.
Okay, well then I will be flexible when that occurs. All right, well, Mary and Marlene, would you please come up and welcome them? Let's give them a round of appreciation.
Are you doing this? Okay. Oh, must be Marlene.
Good morning.
Use the microphone, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We are here because we are prayer partners. And the idea of a prayer partner for me came about when I was in the Spirit Group pilot group. And so there was a section on the self-assessment. I think it was a connection part. And so that was one of the ways that I decided that I would like to go deeper into my spiritual practice. And so I did a lot of prayer work, took about a week, and just thought, no, all of the people that I know that I really connect with in my, not just in my church life, I considered my other life too. And so I narrowed it down to Mary. And then I did some thinking, will she want to do this? What'll happen if she says no? And so, you know, I had to be okay with that possibility that it wasn't the right person or the right time or the right place for me. But I decided to try it, and she said yes. So that's where it all started.
Well, I had actually, I considered Marlene a prayer partner way before she even asked me, because when I was going through cancer and that sort of stuff, she was right there with me as a chaplain, and she prayed with me a lot. So she was already there, and we'd always joked a lot about we should have a group of teachers and a prayer circle for teachers and prayer support for each other, because there were weeks that was like we really needed that. So, and I do have another prayer partner that I meet with once a week over the phone usually, and we talk for about an hour and talk about, you know, what our life challenges have been for that week, and then end in prayer. And then there's, and then I have prayer partners who are crisis prayer partners, you know, it's like, ah, this is going on, please pray for this, you know, that sort of thing. So I was more than willing to be Marlene's prayer partner, but I wasn't sure what that would really look like, whether it would look like this thing or that thing. And she had an article about, you know, meeting once a day and finding a time that we could do that. It got to be really hard. So what we finally settled on, let me check my notes and make sure I'm not off track here. What we settled on was that we could do a prayer intention every day. So that's where our phones come in. Aren't phones wonderful things? So we set an intention for ourselves that day, and we might name what a prayer, particular prayer need was, but it might be more just how am I going to show up today, and what is going on in my life, and how do I want to be there? How in that situation today ahead of me can I show up on my cue card? You know. So that's what we started doing, and usually our intentions are like one or two sentences. They're very short, mm-hmm. and we don't remember every day. Sometimes she does it, and I go, oh, I haven't done Marlene yet. So on the fly, you know, it's like, okay, I'm doing this. And so that's how it goes, but we're getting more and more regular, and we look forward to it every day. Mm-hmm. So
your turn.
Okay. And just as long as we're talking about prayer partners, we had talked to another lady who does prayer partners with a long-distance person, and they read the same materials like Rumi or the Virtues. They did when David was doing the Virtues and Hafiz, and then they just copy-paste it from their Kindle and share back and forth with each other about how they see that showing up in their life. So just an add-on. And Tara has her hand up.
Oh, absolutely. She asked if a spirit group would be a good place to find a prayer partner. Starting in the fall. Yeah.
Keep it in your mind.
Yeah. So This morning, here I am. I'm teaching Sunday school. Jackie's gone. I didn't know when my helper was going to show up today, and I didn't know how many kids were going to show up today, and I got really anxious. And so but I knew that if I just stopped and identified my anxiety and then thought what my highest and best solution would be, how am I going to show up for that, and what's the best thing that I want to come forth from this thing? And I texted that to Marlene, and I immediately was back in my heart again, and things were good. And they have been good. So thank you. Thank you for our ministers who are very flexible as well.
Thank you so much. And we'll do this about every month. Okay, it's time to get ready for our meditation experience. So it's our meditation time, and I invite you to come relaxed, and if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes and to begin a rhythmic pattern of breathing, breathing in and out for the same duration. And in our short time in this experience together, we have as our aim to simply go beyond, get beneath and beyond our analytical mind. No need to try to figure anything out right now. No need to go over your list or think about what's next. Just simply giving ourselves the gift of this present moment to totally engage in this that we're having in this moment, an opportunity to deepen in our awareness and connection to that part of ourself that is infinite and eternal. And so we can amplify this effect, this capacity, by bringing into our awareness someone or something that we appreciate. And so as you bring into your awareness that special friend, that life partner, or perhaps a pet or a fond memory, just allow those feelings of gratitude and appreciation to arise and extend beyond your physical self, so that together we create an energetic field. Within this field, we can find a greater depth of clarity, of peace, of care and connection. And we can become together in this sanctuary. We can become in partnership with one another. Kind of a community prayer partner, so to speak. Knowing that the person that sits beside us or behind us or in front of us is just like us. Having needs and desires and hopes and dreams. And we can know for each other that all things work together for good. That with God, all things are possible. That nothing and no one is against us. That we are the one. We are the way of God. And as we know this, not only for ourselves, but for each other, if there is anyone among us that is in a bit of a struggle, or a challenge, where it might be more difficult to know these things. Well, we can shore that up. We can be for one another that strength, that foundation, that connection, that source of compassion and understanding. And in our partnership and consciousness, we allow ourselves to open to the activity of community and connection. And in our affirmation and support of one to another, we are empowered to go even deeper within ourselves, to connect in that partnership way with our higher self, with the activity of spirit that is right now seeking to express and live itself through us, as us. And to explore this partnership, let us now enter into the silence, beyond the words, beyond the thoughts, simply in the presence. In the presence. And so as we bring ourselves into a greater awareness of this moment here in this place, with all the inputs that we receive, the feeling of the chair against our body, the sounds of the fan, the music, the movement of vibration and energy, we give thanks that we carry with us a greater clarity with respect to our own sense of purpose and wholeness. We give thanks that we have this community as a sanctuary, as a support. And we give thanks for the greater activity of spirit that is bringing us all into the fulfillment of our purpose. And for this, with grateful thanks, we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
The remote. Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, thank you. Did that take you back? I don't know about you, but I was drifting away. And I'm doing a talk on being present. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. We're continuing in a summer series that I'm doing called Based on the Enlightenment for Everyone by Paul Ferrini. It makes me think of Oprah. And you get enlightenment, and you get enlightenment, and you, everybody gets enlightenment. It's under your seat. Look under your seat. It's there. So far we have looked at what happens when we search outside of ourselves or under our seat for things that are within us. We look out there to find our happiness and our success, and really what we're looking for is the light that already lives within us. We also have looked at once we start to look within and we see what's in there, we see it, we connect with the love, the presence of God, what happens? It shines. We see it reflected everywhere we look. Every pair of eyes, we see the light in everyone. And today we want to look at staying present to that. Because we have to be in the now in order to experience the presence of God. Isn't that true? Present moment's the only place. So we want to look at the power of remaining in the present moment. What can happen? I love that wonderful saying, the past is history, the future is mystery, the present is a gift. That's why they call it the present. And so today we're going to do a little unwrapping. Unwrap the present. So are you with me?
Yes.
In order to live fully in the present moment, we only need one single thing. We only need to do one single thing. You know what it is?
Breathe.
Breathe. Breathe will help us get there, yes. We have to pay attention. That's it. That's the end of my sermon. Pay attention. Because as soon as we lose our focus, what happens? We drift away. And it's a pleasant thing to do, isn't it? I love the word reverie. I love that word. And it's because I am so often in it, just drifting away, taken somewhere else. So although the answer is simple, pay attention, is it easy to do that? No, no. Trying to really experience the present moment, the mystics tell us, it's like trying to capture the morning mist in a bowl. It just kind of slips away. Slips away. We have to pay attention. Well, in the book of Hindu prayer, I read these beautiful words. Develop the awareness that every day is special in its own fashion. You must be vigilant, poised for that divine moment on the threshold of change, the moment of transition. This is the eternal present, the moment that is divine with possibility. Do you feel that? This moment, this is the moment we're talking about. It's divine with possibility. I love that. So are you feeling it? Because you know what? It's really easy to miss. In fact, this week as I was preparing my talk, I noticed that I was typically anything but present. Just didn't happen at all. Either I was rehashing anything from the past that I could manage to get my hands on, or I was stressing about all the things that I had to do, including writing this talk. Now, you see, the irony wasn't lost on me. But it's so easy to do that, to get lost in whatever regrets from the past or reliving things or thinking about the future, and we miss what's in the midst of it all. But as I was doing this, I came across these words. The purpose of our life is to be a participant in it instead of living in a daydream. Imagine living in a daydream. So I asked myself, is that what I'm doing? Living in a daydream? And it woke me up to the fact that I was, in fact, in this reverie, this daydream. And so I took a moment to stop, focus, and take a mindful breath. Breathing, right? That's one of the best ways I have found to help us return to the present moment is to breathe. The breath is our traveling companion through life. You know, I've heard a Zen master call it our old friend. It's always with us, always accompanying us on the journey, and yet we can miss it. We don't pay attention to it. We don't want to be away from it too long. Right? Because our old friend can keep us present. You know that phrase, the answer is right under your nose? There's a meaning to that. It's right there, but we miss it. We take it for granted. And it's the thread that keeps us connected to life. Spirit means breath. Spirit means breath. So return to the breath. Let spirit breathe you. Let it anchor you. Let's take a moment right now and take a breath and focus. It's a great practice, day or night. Albert Einstein said, I never think of the future. It comes soon enough. You know, here it is, and it's here again, and it's here again, and it's here again. It's just always on the horizon. So living in the present moment is the full awareness and appreciation of the life that we have right here and right now. It's being totally aware of what is happening within us and outside of us without being lost in this reverie of regret for the past or uncertainty of the future, because in between all of that is the moment that is divine with possibility, the moment where God can be experienced. And that's right now. Isn't that cool? It's right now. Do you see? Right now we can experience it. Shannon Duncan in the book Present Moment Awareness calls it the raw, uncontaminated reality of life. The raw, uncontaminated reality. It's the purity of the now. So do you see the power in this? Say it like you mean it.
Yes.
We really live as we focus on the now. That's how we do it. When we're present in the moment, we're not thinking about the environment. We're instead simply experiencing it, living it to the fullest. And the breath can always return us to that moment when we remember to do it. And we can turn our ordinary moments into extraordinary experiences. There are no ordinary moments. Paul Farini writes, spiritual awareness is not glamorous or esoteric. It's everyday stuff. We can become spiritually aware by just paying attention to the everyday stuff. And he adds, be present as a tree is present in the forest. Go about your business with focus and clarity. Don't plan, don't daydream, don't scheme. Just stay where you are. Can we all agree for the next 40 minutes that we're going to stay where we are? Because every moment that you and I have lived has contained within it the divine possibility to experience and feel God. And every moment that is yet to come contains that same divine possibility. It just keeps on happening. But what we need to do is to experience the moment. And so by focusing on the breath, we can let it anchor us into fully inhabiting our bodies. Staying rooted, right? Because when we don't do that, what happens? We can get totally stuck in our heads. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Anyone? Stuck in our heads, living from the neck up, completely oblivious and numb to what else is happening. Paul Farini said, when we leave thinking behind, heavenly choirs rejoice. I love that. So let's take a minute right now. Sink your awareness deep within your body. Feel your feet. Are they on the floor? Are they warm? Are they cold? Feel them. Just really sink your awareness in your feet. What about your hands? What are you feeling in your hands? Don't try to change anything, control it. Just be aware of it. What's the emotion that you're feeling? Again, just let it rise up. Can you feel the chair beneath you, supporting you? How does that feel? Just experience yourself in your body. Feel yourself rooted. And be here now. Inhabit the moment. Feel your aliveness. Feel it. Because that's what it's all about. Isn't that cool? Feel it. You know, really feel the moment. So much of the time we're living our lives just completely oblivious. In a hurry, we race through the day. You know, and we forget to actually experience it. You ever look back on your day and go, wow, where'd the day go? You ever been driving somewhere and go, I don't remember the last 20 minutes and I'm behind the wheel? I've never done that, but I've heard it happens. You know, I once saw a group of people race walk through a labyrinth. I think there were some kind of running group or something. They all met there. And it was very entertaining to watch, but I don't think they quite got the gist of what a labyrinth is about. But you know what? I could relate to it. It was like, I could see me doing that. I could have a to-do list. Let's see. Oh, I got to walk the labyrinth. That's part of my, what's going on? Oh, 15 minutes, go. And then be done. All right, check it off the list. You know what I'm saying here? It's very easy to get caught up in what's happening in our life and just be swept away by it. When we do that, we miss our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to, at the end of my life, look back and go, I missed it. Where was I all those years? From the book of Genesis 28:16, we read beautiful scripture. Surely the Lord is where? In this place. We have songs. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Beautiful. But you know, we don't often hear the next verse. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. You see? God is here, and I missed it. How did I do that? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. The Sufis say it this way, past and future veil God from our sight. Why? Because the mental chatter that goes on inside our heads, sometimes called monkey mind, it not only distracts us, but it stops us from seeing and experiencing the presence of God. Spirit is here, and where was I? So have you ever heard the story of the monk who was being chased by a tiger, you know, and he comes to the edge of the cliff and he stumbles over and he grabs onto the branch coming out from the side of the cliff and it's holding him above a ledge just below him and he looks up and there's the tiger looking at him over the edge menacing. But oops, there's another tiger on the ledge just below looking up and figuring out how he might get up there. And so he looks up. He can't go that way. He looks down. Can't go that way. But at that moment, he spies a strawberry growing out of the side of the cliff. He picks it. He eats it. And he enjoys it. And there he is, enjoying his... Now that's being present. So does that mean we pretend that everything's okay when it's not? Or not feel the feelings? You know what I'm talking about? No, that's not what it's about. In fact, it's the opposite. It's feeling the feelings. It's feeling it to our depths. Feeling the fear. And feeling the enjoyment. All of it. Whether we're aware of them or not, our behaviors and our choices are ours to make. And we have the opportunity right now to stop having our past dictate our future, right? As Will Rogers puts it, don't let yesterday use up much of today. You know, we can be so wrapped up in our negative reruns that we keep ourselves locked up in the prison of the past. There's no freedom there. But it's a self-imposed prison. And I speak from experience. I've been in that cell many times. But here's the good news. We all hold the key to the whole cell block. We can get out. And it's present moment awareness. And as we realize we're not being present in the moment, that's when we can catch a glimpse of it. Return to that moment. Catching ourselves in the moment. We wake up. We wake up. You know, have you ever had an awakening moment? Whoa. You really felt your aliveness? You know, I remember once traveling, staying in a hotel where I was speaking the next day at a Unity church. And in the morning, I decided to go for my morning run. And so I left the hotel and I ran. I decided this is what I'll do. I'll run 15 minutes. It was a wooded area. I'll run 15 minutes, stop, turn around, run 15 minutes back. So I not going to get lost. I know I'm going to get back. Enough time. And so I did. And when I got to the turnaround point, as I turned around, I heard the unmistakable sound of thunder. And I realized that it didn't matter how, even if I quickened my pace, I was 15 minutes away from shelter. What are you going to do? And so I had a moment. And then I decided, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy this run, no matter what happens. Well, guess what? The heavens opened. It rained in earnest. It was a total downpour. And I got drenched to the just to the skin. But you know what? I loved it. I loved the scent of the morning rain. I loved the sound of the birds finding shelter in the trees. I loved the feeling of the rain. It was wonderful. It was total nowness the whole way. And I was glad I brought my hairdryer with me. It was great. But that experience opened my eyes to the beauty of the present moment. See? So Paul Farini suggests an exercise to open that door of perception. He calls it having a personal Sabbath ritual. And that means that we retreat into the silence, we stay focused on moment-to-moment awareness, and for that time period, it could be 1 hour, doesn't have to be an entire day or a weekend, but whatever it is, we turn off our cell phones, first of all. We don't watch Netflix. We don't read. We don't go out and interact with anything. We just get still. We don't check our email. We don't go on Facebook. We just get still and be. One of my personal heroes, Mahatma Gandhi, used to practice 1 day of silence every week. And I remember deciding to try to do a half day a week when my kids were younger. And it was a little bit of a challenge. They weren't that young, but they were young enough. But they got to know that that half day when mom was being quiet and just let her be, because she'll eventually come back and speak again. And I used to put a sign up on the refrigerator that said, observing the silence, just to remind them. And one day when my daughter was about 8, she and her friend came in the house, and they went in the kitchen, and I heard her friend go, "What does that mean?" Melody said, "Oh, it's just my mom. She's just meditating." And off they went. It was like, you know, it's just mom doing her weird stuff that she does, you know, it's not to worry. But it was very nourishing and enriching for me to do that. The mystics know the power of retreating into the silence. You know, we read that Jesus spent 40 days in the desert, overcame his fears and all of the temptations of the ego, and the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and had a similar experience, and Muhammad hung out in a cave. You know, it was a rich, unique, visionary experience for each one. Because in the silence, it's the wonder-working power of God that's available to us. And in that gap between the past and the future, the eternal present, there is only joy. There's only joy. But we can miss that joy. So I want to invite you this week to join me by spending time in the silence. You know, make your ordinary moments extraordinary. As you stay mindful, as you stay observant, as you stay rooted. Set a timer to remind you to return to the breath. You know, whatever it is, feel your aliveness. If you have a set of stairs in your house, every time you go up or down, take a moment to do it mindfully. You know, as you're brushing your teeth, do it mindfully. And I'm going to be practicing this along with everyone. This morning, I was in such a rush that I used the wrong contact lens solution in my eye and almost burned my brains out. Not quite, but felt like that. Ask Gary. He came in as I was screaming, "Ah, get out!" And I wish I could tell you that in that moment I was enjoying a strawberry. I can assure you I was not. So know that I'm joining us all in the practice. So whether you're cleaning your house or at work or preparing food or eating food, whatever it is, take those ordinary moments and open them up to the joy that lives there now. Are you ready to do that?
Yes.
Because as you do, get ready to unwrap the present. God bless.